are taking place in the final days of this world's history. This point is made very clear in Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 971. And this is a commentary about Revelation 10, where the angel said that there will be no time anymore. This time, which the angel declares with a solemn oath, is not the end of the world's history, neither of probationary time, but of prophetic time, which should precede the advent of our Lord. That is, the people will not have another message upon definite time. After this period of time, reaching from 1842 to 1844, there can be no definite tracing of the prophetic time. The longest reckoning reaches to the autumn of 1844. So that makes clear that when we are studying the events, that we cannot say, well, so and so many years, and then this is happening, so and so many years, and then this is happening. There was a time when it was important for the people of God to have certain times, and the movement was greatly strengthened by the interpretation of the times. But today this is not necessary, because the power of the message is in the message itself clear enough. Let us now turn to Daniel 11 and study these events in their order. And we also want to write them down a little bit. We begin in verse 40. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack the king of the north. Now this, we have seen, was the French Revolution, and the attack against the king of the north found its climax in the taking captive the Pope in the year 1798. That is the attack of the king of the south against the king of the north. Attack? Correct? Okay. Of king of the south. This was the French Revolution, or in connection with the French Revolution, and also the spirit of atheism. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. That talks of the fact that the king of the north will hit back. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many shall be overthrown. Now the entering into the glorious land has, as we have seen, several meanings. It can have a personal meaning, that is, the king of the north tries to enter into the hearts of believers. It can have the meaning, and has the meaning, of the king of the north trying to establish himself in the church of God, and thereby unsettle the faith of many and deceive them. And it has also the meaning that the king of the north actually brought the church of God to a downfall. And this we have actually seen happen. Now this bringing the church of God to a downfall is preliminary to the other work that the king of the north is doing, which is described in what 42 and 43, where it says he shall stretch out his hand against the countries of the land of Egypt, and so forth. Now, that this is so is made very clear in the Great Controversy, page 444. I hope that's the page in English. Well, it begins on page 443, really, in the English. There it says, it was apostasy that led the early church to seek the aid of civil government, and this prepared the way for the development of the papacy, the beast. Said Paul, there shall come a falling away, and that men of sin be revealed. So, apostasy in the church will prepare the way for the image of the beast. Now, in order to understand this a little bit, we must understand what the image of the beast is. What is it? It is described in, it is described in Revelation 13, isn't it? And let's read this for a moment. Let's open Revelation chapter 13. And here we begin to read from verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast and be killed. Pardon? Should be killed. Thank you. The beast to be killed, it says in my Bible. Another translation, okay? Let's read a little bit on. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, the image of the beast is like the beast. It is an image of it. And what is the beast? And what is the image? Yeah, then we could ask, what is papacy? If you answer, it is papacy. Let's read on page 381 in Story of Redemption, and there we have a very clear definition of this. Yeah, men in the place of God. Well, let's read page 381 in the book Story of Redemption. By this first beast is represented the Roman Church, an ecclesiastical body clothed with civil power, having authority to punish all dissenters. The image to the beast represents another religious body clothed with similar power. So the beast and the image, both, they are religious bodies that use civil power to make certain that their aims get through. Now that's another way to say, of course, that the King of the North uses the means of force instead of the means of righteousness. There are two powers, as we have seen. In the end, the King of the North and God's people. And the King of the North uses force, and God's people use righteousness. Now, when the image of the beast comes, then it will be a religious body that uses the state power to further its own interests. This is the characteristic of the beast, and this is the characteristic of the image of the beast. Now, how will the beast be set up? That is the question. Before we answer this, let us look at the time chart again. There was another important event happening in 1798, or around this time. It was not only the attack of the King of the South against the King of the North, but also... Yeah, that was... Yeah, that is the attack. Well, what was happening in America in this time? America got into being at around this time. And the United States of America was the first country in which religious freedom was established, wasn't it? It's the model country. And through what was religious freedom established here? Through the truth, and the truth was in the Protestant churches, wasn't it? Especially the churches of the United States of America. So what we have here is not only the attack against the King of the South, but at the same time, there was the beginning of a mighty bulwark of truth against the papacy in the United States of America, and that was the free, let's call it the free Protestantism. And many people who were persecuted in Europe, they fled to the United States at that time. And so Protestantism became mightily strengthened. But now we come to the setting up of the image of the beast. What has happened in this very churches that were the bulwark of liberty for a long time? Now, as you say just now, this country and these churches are represented by the beast that comes out of the land. In Revelation 13, verse 11, "Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spoke like a dragon. So, it is really a lamb-like beast, because the history, the tradition of these churches is like a lamb, peaceful and free. Now, let us turn back to the Great Controversy, page 443, and understand this statement that we read here. "It was apostasy that led the early church to seek the aid of the civil government, and this prepared the way for the development of the papacy, the beast. Said Paul, there shall come a falling away, and that men of sin be revealed." So, apostasy in the church will prepare the way for the image of the beast. Now, what has happened here? Apostasy. Now, how does apostasy really come about, or how is it really strengthened? How became Pharaoh hardened? By rejecting light that he received. And so likewise, apostasy is the result of rejecting light. Now, the churches must have rejected light in order to come into the state of apostasy. Now, another meaning of apostasy is that the King of the North has successfully entered into the glorious land. We have studied this lately in connection with the fall of the early church, how the leaders in Jerusalem had permitted the King of the North to rule in their hearts, and even Paul gave way to this ruling. Now, the foretelling of this entering of the King of the North in the early church we find also in Daniel 11, but in earlier verses. Let's turn a little bit back in Daniel 11. Let's have a look to which verses again. Verse 30. Let's begin in verse 29. "At the appointed time he shall return and go towards the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter. For ships from Cyprus shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return in rage against the holy covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant." What does the King of the North do? He shows regard for whom? For those who forsake the holy covenant. Now, let's think back of Nehemiah for a moment. What did Tobiah and Sanballat try to do? They tried to show regard to those who forsook the Holy Covenant, didn't they? They tried to befriend some of the Jews, and they were successful. But those who were not standing firm on the principles of the Holy Covenant. But with Nehemiah, Sanballat and Tobiah really failed. They did not forsake the Holy Covenant, and therefore the King of the North did not show regard for him. In fact, he had no hope to win the allegiance of Nehemiah, and all he could do then was to fight against him. But here we find that the King of the North shows regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant. So when the King of the North shows regard for us, it is a sure sign that we are in danger of leaving the Holy Covenant, isn't it? We must see very clearly that there's a total enmity, a deadly war between us and the King of the North when we do not forsake the Holy Covenant. But if we do, the King of the North will find great interest in us, and they will quickly be formed an alliance. And this was the case with the early church, and so the beast came into existence. And this is exactly the way the image of beast of the beast comes into existence, there's first apostasy, a regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant. That is what the King of the North has. In other words, he shall enter the glorious land, and many shall be overthrown. So this regard for the world in the Protestant churches, or the regard of the world for the Protestant churches, that showed that they had forsook the Holy Covenant by rejecting light. And the light was the three angels' messages, which heralded the Savior's coming. Do you write it like this? And the rejection of those messages certainly led to this apostasy, and this apostasy leads to the erection of the image of the beast. Now, before this happens, there comes a tremendous unity of those churches who apostatized. And this unity of the churches will make them very powerful. As it says in verse 42 and 43 of Daniel 11, "He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures and gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels." So he will be very successful prior to the erection of the image of the beast. Now this success is also described in Revelation chapter 16 and 17. Let's turn to Revelation 16 for a moment, to the sixth plague that begins in verse 12. Where it says, "Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, and performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he should walk naked and they see his shame. And they," that is the demon spirits, "gathered them together," that is the kings of the earth, "to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon." Now, we have seen in our study in Daniel 11, verse 40, that the King of the North goes out with the power of spiritism. This is very much confirmed here in Revelation 16. "For I saw three unclean spirits, and they are the spirits of demons, of devils." In other words, that is spiritualism. Do you say spiritism or spiritualism? Spiritualism. So, this is spiritualism, and with this power, the King of the North is able to gather the whole world together, to gather all the kings together of the world. It's a tremendous success. By this gathering together of his forces, he will get the treasure of all these. In other words, he will be absolutely in demand in power. Now, today we see how this is happening before our eyes. As we see that the King of the South is falling, we see it's a result also of the church coming together. Now imagine the Orthodox Church in the East and the Catholic Church in the West would be as antagonistic as they had been in the past. Would they then be successful in the East? No. Something has taken place, obviously. And what is it? It is that the churches have come together. They have united, and thereby they have greatly enriched themselves. They have become gotten the treasures even of Egypt. Now let's turn to Revelation 17, where the same thing is foretold. And here we read from verse 1 really onwards, because it's a whole connection, the whole chapter. "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abomination and the filthiness of her fornication. Now who is this? It says the next verse. On her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. So, Babylon has outward a very nice appearance. It has, it looks very, very attractive. But what is inside? Death. Really dead. And so are all the ways of Babylon or the king of the north. Outside they are quite nice, but inside they are rotten. Now this, of course, is deceiving the people, the outside appearance. And I saw a woman drunk with the blood of the saints, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. Now why is the king of the north so powerful? That is a real marvel for God's people. But the angel tells why. He continues in verse 8, The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. And the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. So you see how the beast, which is Babylon, or which is, in other words, the king of the north, will receive all the power and authority of the world. This is exactly what also Daniel saw, that he will gain the treasures of the Egyptians, gold and silver and everything, and he will also get the following of the Ethiopians and Libyans, of anybody. And he sought, and sorry, these will make, I stopped in verse 13. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. And he said to me, The waters which you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the prostitute and make her desolate and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the word of God are fulfilled. Now this confirms again that even though the wicked become so strong, even though the king of the north gets into possession of all the wealth of the king of the south and of all the other countries, yet it is all according to the purpose of God. Because it says, For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast, until the word of God are fulfilled. So it should not take us wonder when the King of the North really gets so strong as he does. So in the unification of the churches, we can see very clearly that there is a very strong move towards the setting up of the image, because when they give all their power to the beast, then the image of the beast will be set up. Now this is the same as we read in Revelation 13, of course, where it says that the lamb-like beast will make that all worship the image and the first beast. Did you understand this verses in Revelation 17? Was this understandable?
There's one thing I've heard a study on before, but I can't quite remember what the meaning of verse 10 and 11 is.
Yeah. 17. My question is, did you understand Revelation 17? Do you understand this chapter? It's hard for you. It's not so difficult. Shall we study it again?
Yes, please.
To make it understandable? Okay. So, this is only in connection, this we study now in connection with Daniel 11 and the fulfillment of prophecy as we see it before our eyes. Now, of course, before we continue now with Revelation 17, let us quickly look at this chart. The angel's messages have gone forth, have caused the downfall of the churches, and even those churches that originally preached the three angels' messages, isn't it? And here we have a very clear fulfillment also of Daniel 11, verse 41, where it says, that he shall enter the glorious land, and many shall be overthrown. Now this fall of these churches, including the one that in the beginning preached the three angels' messages, will lead directly to the erection of the image of the beast. This is what we read in Great Controversy, page 444. It was apostasy that led to the rise of the beast. So it will be apostasy that leads to the rise of the image of the beast. And this is really the next event that we are waiting for. Meanwhile, the Lord has called another people with the fourth angel's message, and this message will really have its climax as an answer to the erection of the image of the beast. As we read in the Great Controversy in the chapter, The Final Warning, when the events so long foretold will actually take place, the message will have an effect which it could not have before. And then the people will be aroused. They will see what the King of the North is really doing, and this will then cause the great anger of the King of the North. But let us now take a closer look at Revelation 17. Now first of all, we find here a woman that sits on a beast, right? Then one of the seven angels that had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, come, I will you show the judgment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With, pun? Yes, that's right. So, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So we have here prostitute that sits on many waters, right? A prostitute is a woman that is unfaithful to her husband, isn't it? Good. So we have here a woman and she sits on waters. Okay. Now, a woman in the Bible, what does it signify? A church. And when she is unfaithful to her husband, then it is an apostate church. So it's an apostate church that sits on waters. And waters are people. Good. So we have here an apostate church supported by people. Another picture given is this. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Again, here we have a woman, which is a church, but what kind of church? An apostate church, because she has a cup full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication, which again indicates that she is an unfaithful wife. Okay, here we see how she sits on a scarlet beast. So a woman sitting on a beast. And this indicates that again she is carried by something else. By what is the woman carried here? By the power of the state, which in the end also is the power of the people, but principally it's the force of the state which she's riding on. Now the woman, or first of all, it says here, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. So where is this woman on the beast at the moment when John was carried here? In the wilderness. Now the wilderness is an indication of being desolate, of not being in power. So he is carried into a time where this very structure, that is the woman on the beast, is not in power but is in the wilderness. Now when was the beast in the wilderness? After 1798. It did not have power anymore. So we are carried in time here, in the time of after 1978, until it has power again. That is the time in which we are carried, to which we are carried.
You said 1798,
thank you. Please correct me if I make a mistake. So, we read on, and her forename was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, and so forth. I think that's all clear. Of course, much could be said and studied about this, because it's very interesting to see how Babylon is really a mystery. It's the mystery of iniquity. And it is a great wonder how the wicked can be so strong. It's, even for the saints, sometimes something that they just cannot understand. Like the song, further along. It's difficult to understand why the wicked can prosper so much. Yeah, from the outside it looks very successful. Yeah. But the angel makes the point very clear. He says, don't marvel, I will show you. And what does the angel show in the end to John? He shows how this wicked woman will come to an end against the battle of the Lamb, because the Lamb is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we should not marvel, because we know the end of this power. But the angel said, why did you marvel? Let's come now to verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. Clear, isn't it? Because it was in the past. Now at the moment it's in the wilderness. It is not. But it will come out of the perdition again. And this coming out of perdition, today we see fulfilled before our very eyes. There are not too many years in the past when you did not hear anything about the papacy, did you? But now today you hear a lot about them and about the churches. They have become very popular. Verse 8 still. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go in perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. He is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. What are mountains in the Bible? Kingdoms. Good. So there are seven kingdoms. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. Now, in respect to the King of the North, what significance powers were there? World powers. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, first heathen Rome, then pagan Rome. I don't have the chart with me. No, yes, I have it. Here we have it. Okay. Babylon, that is where the prophecies of Daniel begin, really. Here. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, the papacy. That are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And this 5 had fallen. These were the ones that carried the king of the north. That were the powers, the forces that carried the king of the north. And there are also 7 kings, 5 have fallen. We are in verse 10 at the moment. 5 have fallen, 1 is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. So, and the other has not yet come, that is the final king of the north. He has not yet come in the time when John was carried, into the time when the beast was in the wilderness. Now the one that is, 5 have fallen, 1 is, and the other has not yet come. The one that is really not the principal power of the king of the north. It's not the principal power of Satan, I wanted to say. Satan prefers much more to use the king of the north than he does the king of the south. Because he is not interested in denying the existence of God, he is interested to set himself into the structure of God's kingdom. And when he comes, he must continue for a short time. So do you understand verse 10 now? 5 have fallen, 1 is, and 1 is to come. And when he comes, he will sit a short time, and then he will fall. We don't know how long the short time is, but it is a short time according to these words. Then let's come in verse 11. And the beast that was and is not is himself also the 8th, and is of the 7, and is going to perdition. So again, the beast that was and is not is himself also the 8th, and is of 1 of the 7, and is going to perdition. In other words, there will be a combination of all these spirits, of all these powers, in the last time, and this combination will be the final king of the north that is persecuting God's people. Is this understandable?
The last king that has come, also the 8th, verse 4 and verse 11.
The beast that was and that is not is himself also the 8th. Well, we have also the lamb-like beast, which is coming out of the earth. That is the power that carries the king of the north into power again, after it comes from the wilderness. And then we have the unification of all these powers in the beast again. It is the unification of all the powers. Exactly. So let us make a break now, as our time is really over.